Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's really good to have you here this evening. It's January...
It's January.
It's going to be. It's December 31st, okay. 2023.
Yes.
So it's the last day of December. January is just a few hours away.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm trying to push us ahead. I'm sorry, friends. It's just, I don't know what I'm thinking. But it's good to be here in the studio this evening, and I hope that everybody's having a good evening and staying at home and being safe. You know,
yes.
So many people have other plans for this particular day, and I just hope that people are just focused on doing godly things.
Yeah, making good choices.
Amen to that. Yeah. But it's really good to be here. You can catch us here every Sunday on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Sunday evenings at Eastern Time. And we want to thank Ray Powers for keeping us on the air all of these years. And it's just really, we really appreciate his work and what he does here on New Visions Radio. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, please.
Prophecies of Hope started when 2012, 2013, mm-hmm. that area. Just a little ministry, a few people got together and decided they wanted to do some evangelism, and that's kind of how it started. We're located in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street, if you happen to be in the area. And we meet every Wednesday evening for a kind of a prayer meeting slash Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the Sabbath or Saturday, we have a Bible study at 9:30 and then our worship hour at 11.
Okay, very
and
good.
Sometimes we have a fellowship meal, and let us know if you're coming and we'll have some food
we
for you.
We would love to do that. And we get out the guitar and we sing some hymns together,
right.
Some nice spiritual uplifting songs,
right.
And it's a lot of fun. It's really very encouraging. And yeah, if you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, let us know you're coming. We'd love to have you. And also, you know, it's interesting that you said that we just wanted to do evangelism.
Right.
Because you and I, we knew each other, but we were parts of different fellowships.
Well, actually, I don't think I knew you until a friend of mine invited me to join this committee that was putting this thing together. You guys were already halfway under getting this thing organized.
Yeah, it was just a bunch of lay people.
Yeah.
You know, nobody was a trained pastor
right.
or anything like that. And, you know, we just wanted to do outreach. We wanted to get this gospel message, which we've learned a lot about
yes.
since studying together.
Yes.
You know, there were a lot of things that I didn't know then that now I know.
Right, me too.
And we're learning constantly, aren't
right.
we? You know, when we do Sabbath school on Sabbath mornings, Saturday mornings, every week, Ed, I seem to learn a different nuance of or see something in Scripture that somehow I missed
right.
before.
Yeah.
Every single week
yeah.
it seems to happen. And friends, you know, if you get your Bible out and you just open it up and just read it, and I'm sure you've heard Ed say this many times. What do you say, Ed? Just read
the words on the page. Make sure you pay attention to the word. I know this guy that says words mean things. And so
right.
it's true. If you don't read them and look at what they mean, it's easy just to gloss over what the Bible is actually saying because you've heard it. The section you're reading, you've heard it presented differently than what it actually says.
Or you've been told what it means
yeah.
rather than just allowing it to speak for itself.
Right.
And, you know, I've learned so much by being a part of this particular fellowship and just by surrounding myself with people who love God's Word. It makes such a difference.
Yeah, I think we all have.
Yeah. And so, you know, I just want to suggest to you that, you know, if you're not part of a fellowship or you're not part of a group of people that love to read God's Word, surround yourself with people who not that are necessarily indoctrinated, but just want to learn the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, and you're welcome to tune in with us. We do
yes.
it via Zoom. So
right.
if you'd like that link, you can email me, mark@prophecyhope.com.
Or ed@prophecyhope.com.
And if you can't remember our names, you can just send a general email to office@prophecyhope.com, and we'll make sure you get that Zoom link.
Right.
And you can join us, and you can join us on Wednesday nights too.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's really, it's a lot of fun. We learn a lot.
Yes.
We learn every week.
It will change your life.
It is a life-changing thing,
yeah.
and for the good.
Yeah.
You know, and it really, when we look around the world today and we see all of these events unfolding, first of all, by having an understanding of Bible prophecy, it sets my mind at ease.
Right.
Because, you know, I like the way our friend Jeff says it, our brother Jeff, he says, we know how the book ends.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And it's so true.
Yeah, and today we're going to be studying the last book of the book.
That's right. Yeah. We are. And I'm really looking forward to getting into that. We were in Revelation 13 last week, weren't we? And we're going to pick that up this week.
Yeah.
So I think that's all the business that we have. And we're hoping that we get to meet Ray Powers.
Yes.
He's going to stop and visit. He's supposed to be traveling through this area. And as you might have heard him, my mic picked it up. He was kind of whispering that, Ray Powers. I don't know if you heard that or not. But yeah, we're really excited. You know, I've known Ray for years through text and emails.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to him via Zoom. You know, one of our dear friends passed, and we got to see him there at that. We did a funeral via Zoom. And I'm really excited about meeting him.
Yeah.
And I know he's just a ball of energy. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing him hopefully in the coming week or so.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's we need to get started with this Bible study, Ed. So would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're thankful to be able to open your word to give us information about the day and the time that we live in. How important it is to know you and your son, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and to accept this great gift you've given us of your son, not only his death on the cross, but sending his spirit to live in our hearts and minds, mm-hmm. to prepare us for his coming again. So, Father, as we read these things, we ask for wisdom and knowledge and for guidance by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. So, all right, where were we last week, Ed?
We had talked about Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10.
Okay, and why don't we do, can you kind of give us a little overview of that? Are you prepared to do
that? Sure, we can do that. When you look at Revelation 13, 1, it talks about John the Revelator seeing a beast coming out of the sea. And now John the Revelator is John, the disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we would call him the Apostle John,
yes.
Right?
And he's called the Revelator because of the book of Revelation.
And what does Revelation mean, Ed?
You're revealing.
Revealing, yeah.
Yes, it's revealing this prophecy, what's going to happen from John's time to the end of the world.
There you go.
And so, as part of this revelation here in Revelation 13, he sees a beast coming up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. And it goes on to say that the beast he saw was like a leopard, and the feet of those like a bear, and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him its power and its seat and great authority. And so we compare that to like Daniel chapter 7, where mm-hmm. Daniel sees those same beasts, those same symbols, which represent different kingdoms of the earth, and realizing that Daniel was looking forward in history, and now John, being the time of the nondescript beast of Daniel 7, he's looking back at mm-hmm. history when he compares this dragon to be, or this beast having to be like a leopard and a bear and a lion.
Yes.
It's a culmination of these kingdoms into this beast coming up out of the sea.
So all of these things, you know, I just want to mention this to the listener. When we begin reading in the book of Genesis, we take everything as much as possible as literal,
right?
Like the literal 6 days of creation and resting on the seventh day, and a literal garden, and Adam was created from literal dust and so forth, right? But there's one place in Genesis where it's speaking prophetically, where we don't take it literal because it's speaking prophetically.
Right.
Well, Daniel and Revelation being highly prophetic books, these things are symbols of things. In other words, if you can take it as literal, we should take it as literal. But here, when it talks about a seven-headed, ten-horned beast, I don't know of anything in nature like that.
Right. And that brings up a good point. I've heard it said like this. If it goes against the laws of nature, or what we know as God created from for living on this earth, like a lion or a tiger or a bear. None of these symbols, we see nothing literally on the earth. So we know it's a symbol.
Right, right. When it talks about seven heads, ten horns, a lion with wings, right? A leopard with four heads, things like that. So we, those things we know are prophetic. Daniel and Revelation are highly prophetic books, and they go hand in hand, as we saw part last week. We compared some of those things. So I just wanted to state that because, you know, keep in mind that we can take the Bible very literal until we're speaking prophetically. So go ahead, Ed, please.
So when we look at this beast in Revelation 13, it talks about all the earth marveled after the beast in verse 3, and that they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with it? So when we think of worship, you know, we think of bowing down or idolizing things, but worship is also being obedient to whoever you worship.
That's true.
And that's really a sign of true worship. If you're obedient to God, you're worshiping Him. You recognize His authority. You recognize His that He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, that created everything through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. So also, you know, worship can be something that you give inadvertently.
Yeah.
In other words, remember when we talked about Daniel, or rather the three Hebrews that were there in front of that image? If those people just to go along with the crowd, bow to that image.
Well, it was more than going along with the crowd. They didn't want to lose their life.
Right, right. They because of out of fear.
Yeah.
So if those people bow to that image, even though they say, well, I'm not going to worship it, but I'll go ahead and bow, what are you doing?
You're doing what's being commanded of you, and you make it seem like you're going along, that you believe, but you don't.
Yes. This is very important when we look at that account and we look at the end time message. Because, you know, the way I heard it put years ago by a pastor that I admire very much, he was talking about the three Hebrews standing there, how they stood when the music started. They didn't bow.
Right.
They stood there. And he said, you know, they could have just said, well, you know what, I'll just kneel down and buckle my sandals, you know. But see, they didn't want to even show that. And this is, at the end of time, we're going to have to stand for Bible truth. We're going to have to stand for the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
You know, this morning in my devotionals, I was in 1 Thessalonians. I can't find it right offhand, but it says, don't do anything that makes you appear like you're doing something wrong.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So, in other words, we don't even want to have the appearance of doing
evil.
anything evil. Yeah. So it's so important that we understand this, particularly in the end of time, because people will associate you. You know, it's kind of like the guy that drives the getaway car. He didn't rob the bank, but he's guilty of it because he was associated with those folks.
Right, he was helping them.
Yeah, even if someone's in the car.
Right.
You see.
You know, it goes on here in Revelation 13, talking about the influence or the power that this beast has, so much so that all dwelling on the earth will worship it, in verse 8.
Wow.
Those whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so it goes on to say in verse 10, he leads into captivity will go into captivity. If anyone will kill with a sword, he must be killed by a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saint.
Mm.
It's just like the story of King Nebuchadnezzar and the three Hebrews and the statue and the fiery furnace.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't obey this beast, you're going to lose your life.
Right. So the interesting thing is the three Hebrews did not lose their lives.
Right.
And even though they knew they would be thrown into the furnace, and if they did lose their lives, they weren't worried about it.
Yeah, they said, we don't need to think about it, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar. We already know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We trust in our God. And even if he doesn't save us from the fiery furnace, we won't worship anybody else.
Because they knew that he had a better promise for them.
Right.
That's what they knew.
The promise of eternal life.
So this is what we're trying to help you to realize. God has a better plan for you.
Yes.
Right? For each one of you that are listening, God has a better plan for you. And if you remain faithful to him, he will remember you, even if you happen to lose your life
right.
during this time, if we live during that time.
You know, it reminds me of my oldest son. He was in college and having a hard time figuring out what he was going to do in terms of a major. He tried one thing and it didn't work out. I was thinking about another thing and it wasn't going to work out. And I said, well, you know, pray about it. You know, God will show you. Mm. And he goes, well, I sure wish you would hurry up and show me. You know,
I understand that completely.
You want to know now, but you have to have faith.
Yeah.
Let God lead in your life.
I'm not very patient. And did he eventually find?
Yes.
He did.
He found, yeah. The major was International Fire and Rescue.
Wow.
He's a paramedic firefighter.
So helping others.
Yeah, has done all kinds of firefighting. And he just loves it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so it may not have happened in the time that he thought,
right?
But it's probably worked out for the best for him.
Yeah. And what an opportunity to help people in their time of need.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. When they're in trouble, he's there to help.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a blessing that is.
Yeah.
Not only to them, but it has to be rewarding for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's dangerous.
Yeah, I'm sure they see a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah, but, I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
But, you know, those things, when God restores all things, they won't even come to mind.
Right. Yeah, that will be over with.
Amen.
Amen.
So here we are in Revelation 13. So you just gave us an overview of Revelation 13, 1 through 10.
So it's interesting that this prophecy continues, but it continues in verse 11 by saying, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon, and exercises all the authority of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and those dwelling in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed.
Mm.
Do you want to talk about this deadly wound a minute?
Yeah, this deadly wound. I think we touched on it
last
before
week, yeah.
Because we had talked about this time period of 1260 years.
Yes.
And I think it's expressed three different ways in the Bible, right? Time, times, and half a time, or some might say a dividing of time.
Yeah, which means a year, 2 years, and a half a year.
Yeah, so that's 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And then we saw it as, let's see, 1,260 days, right? And then what was the other
42
one?
Months.
42 months. Thank you for that, because I don't know why I couldn't remember that.
Yeah.
And so what we did, very briefly, there's 360 days in the Jewish calendar, and that was how they reconciled time then.
Right. All these all three symbols of this period of time represents the same amount
the
of time.
The same amount of time. And it's seven different places in the Bible is where we find it. So it's just, we talked about it last week. If you'd like to go back in the archive, in the archived radio programs and listen to that, try to do that, because we give a little bit of an explanation of it there. If you want a more in-depth explanation, there are a couple of, you can just send me an email at mark@prophecyhope.com and I'll send you the link to the sermon. So this time period of 1,260 days, when did that start, Ed, by history? We know
by history, it started in 538 AD when Justinian, a Roman general, Roman leader and authority, declared the Bishop of Rome, or the Pope, head of all religions.
Okay. So this is closely related to the papal power or the papacy.
Yes. And when we saw that the dragon gave the beast its authority, you have to understand that Constantine, the Roman Empire, moved his empire from Rome to Constantinople.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did that, he gave his seat of authority to the Bishop of Rome, which is the Pope.
Okay.
And so that's what that is talking about in Revelation 13. He gave him power, the authority to rule, and his seat of authority, which was the city of Rome.
So during that 1,260 years, from, if my calculations are right, it's from 538 AD mm-hmm. to 1798, yes. which is fairly recent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we look back and say it's a long time ago, but, you know, this is fairly recent to be fulfilling Bible prophecy.
Right.
And so we look at that. What happened during that 1,260-year period?
There was this guy called Napoleon.
Okay.
And he had a general called Berthier.
All right.
And he went into Rome and captured the Pope, took him captive.
That was at the end of the 1,260 years.
Yes.
Right? And this was actually in the year 1798.
Yeah. And within the next year, the Pope died in captivity.
Wow. Okay. So this would be considered a deadly wound.
Yeah. You would think that's the end of the papacy,
because
but it's not.
This power had, it seemed to have stopped.
Right.
Right? Now, just to give everybody a little bit of history, what happened during that time period between 538 and 1798? There's something very significant in history.
You hear it called the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages.
Right.
It's where the papal power persecuted, tortured, and put to death, some estimates 50, some 150 million people, because they would not follow the dictates of the papal power, their way of religion, their way of worship.
Millions of people. Because,
yes.
So in other words, what I'm hearing you say is people were, they were basically told, you will worship this way or you will lose your life.
And what they did, they used the civil authorities to process putting people to death.
To enforce it.
Yes.
Okay, so this goes along very much with what we saw in the book of Daniel.
Yes.
With the Hebrews there, right?
And it goes along with what we're going to be studying right now.
Isn't that interesting? So we see a fulfillment in Daniel of, we see what happened there. We see this fulfillment during those 1,260 years, but there's also an end time fulfillment of this prophecy, is what I hear you saying.
Yes.
Okay, and we're going to discover that.
If you want to read a little bit more about what happened, there's a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs.
I've heard of that.
And it goes into almost too much detail about what they did to people.
Wow.
It was pretty horrible.
So is that a pretty old book?
Yeah.
Now, is that something that you can get from the library? Is it available?
I'm sure you could probably find it in some libraries. I'm sure you could probably find a PDF online.
How old? I've never seen the book, so I didn't know if maybe you knew. You're not sure about how old the book is. Do you have a copy of that?
I don't, but I've read portions.
Wow.
Online.
I'm going to check that out. You know, I will. I'll look and see if it's available, and. I don't know. How is that spelled?
It's F-O-X-E
Fox.
Okay. / S Book of Martyrs. And it's the work of a Protestant historian named Fox.
Okay.
And he wrote it, first published in 1563.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so it's
the account of sufferings of the Protestants under the Catholic Church.
Okay. Well, you know, we think about that. Again, you know, one of the things that we like to make sure people understand here, we have to be honest about history.
Yeah.
We can't water things down to make people look better, make things seem like this is what's happening in the United States today, is they're trying to alter history by getting rid of monuments and things, and they're trying to rewrite history to water it down. We can't do that. And the other thing is, by pointing out these things, whether it's the Pope or the Catholic system or whatever, we're not saying that Catholic people are bad people. We're not pointing to those people. They had nothing to do with it.
Right.
This comes from leadership, just like Nebuchadnezzar was the leader of that kingdom of Babylon, right? So anyway, I just wanted to put that in there, because so many times people think, oh, you're being critical or you're putting these people down. No, let me tell you, the majority of my family are Catholic. I come from an Italian heritage.
Yeah.
So on my mom's side, all of my mom's family are Catholic.
Right.
And they're devout. My aunt was a nun, so one of my aunts. So, you know, you think about that. I don't think that that just because they profess to be Catholic that they're lost. Are they living up to the light that they have, just like any one of us?
There's a text that's in, I think, believe, Revelation 18, where it talks about some of these the beast,
mm-hmm.
And her daughters.
That's right.
And the call is, come out of her, my people.
Right. Come out of Babylon.
Come out of Babylon, yeah. And I guess that's kind of what part of our message is today.
Yes.
You know, come out of things that aren't true to God's word, that cause you to worship someone other than God.
Right. So when it talks about the harlot's daughters, right? That's what mm-hmm. it's talking about. When it mentions that, you know, we might think, well, we're not Catholic, we're Protestant. But it's talking about the Protestant churches who have adopted the Catholic doctrine.
What happened on the, this is a few years ago, on the 500th anniversary of the protest.
That was, what year was that, 2016?
Yeah.
Is that when that was?
The word was proclaimed that the protest is over. Come join the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Let's be reunited.
That's amazing. That was on the 500th anniversary,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, this is the thing. We have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
It doesn't come through a church or a fellowship or a denomination, as many of us, all of my life, Ed, I was raised that way, to
yeah.
believe that I had to be a part of this specific group of people.
Right.
And I know many of us who are listening here feel the same way. Whatever your fellowship is, you feel like, well, if I'm not connected to this group, I'm lost.
Right.
No, if you're not connected to Jesus Christ,
Amen.
You're lost. That you have to be connected to Christ. It doesn't come through a church.
See, that's what this call is about, is to come out of these false forms of religion
Amen.
That have incorporated the ways of the world, the pagan religion into their practices to
right.
attract more people. Come out and worship God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Follow Christ.
And that's why this Revelation 13 message is such a timely message.
Yeah.
Because, you know, through the studies that we've done, we believe this time is coming very quickly.
This call isn't just to call people out of the Catholic Church.
No.
It's to call them out of any form of false religion.
Into Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, it's very important, and I hope that those of you who are listening understand the weight of separating ourselves from any form of false religion, from anything that will keep us from a relationship with Jesus Christ.
And see, this is what Revelation 13 is about. It's about the beast and this other two-horned beast coming up out of the earth, forcing people to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, this false form of worship.
So what does that look like, Ed? Where do we go from here?
Well, when we look at verse 11, it says, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the first beast in Revelation 13 coming up out of the sea.
That's right, we did.
And we learned that the sea represents peoples, nations,
multitudes
and tongues.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, all right, so if the sea, which would be, you know, we think of the sea, we think of water.
Yeah.
So water or the sea means many people.
So if we think about maybe 1600s,
mm-hmm.
there's a huge population in Europe.
Absolutely. That's where pretty much everybody from Europe, when they wanted to free, they came to this country, the United States, right?
But in North America, there wasn't very much population at all.
Not at all.
So if you compare that, you can see that this beast coming about the earth is coming out of North America.
Okay.
And it has two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. So there's some kind of transition with this power in North America. At first, it's lamb-like, humble-like. You know, a lamb is not going to hurt anybody.
Right.
And it turns into this dragon.
Okay.
And it has two horns.
Yeah, it does.
When you look at the reason why the pilgrims came over to this country, There was two main reasons, for religious liberty and for civil liberty.
Okay. So
no pope and no king.
So to put it in a term that some might understand, I think people understand what you just said better, but some might call it republicanism and Protestantism.
Yes.
So this country, go ahead.
Define republicanism.
Well, republicanism is not what a lot of people think. A lot of people might think of republicanism as either democratic or republican, that's not what it is. It's a government without a king.
It's a government by the people.
By the people, right.
The United States is a republic. It's not a democratic country. It's a republic.
Right.
It's supposed to be ruled by the people,
right,
by the representatives that they send to Washington, D.C.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, sometimes we get some crooked people in there, and they tend to want to take control of everything. But, you know, you think about that. Protestantism, any church that has basically protested or come out of or came from the Catholic movement to say we want our religious freedom would be considered Protestant.
Yes. And do you know what the major influence for that happening besides the leading of God?
What's that?
Was having the Bible printed in the language of the people and have access to it so they could learn and see for themselves the words written on the page.
Yeah, I think, didn't Gutenberg have a big part in publishing the Bible in German, I think it was, right? And that was in about the 1500s, if I'm not mistaken. And so Gutenberg, another one was Tyndale, William Tyndale had a big part in that. And then, of course, we have King James, who translated it, had a bunch of different people working on that translation. But I think Gutenberg was the one that made a printing press to be able to mass produce it quickly. And you know, you think about those things. When I think about how fast things happened, I go back to when God wanted the temple built, when he wanted to have, not necessarily the temple built, but the sanctuary built.
Okay.
There were artisans and people that from all over that were given these special skills to be able to do what he wanted to do.
Right. He had given them those abilities
those
so
gifts.
They could do the work that he created them to do.
Yeah, he gave gifts to men, allowing them to be able to do those things. This is the same with his word. He wanted his word to get out to the world to save the world.
Right. And you know what's interesting today? The Bible is probably the most number one published book in
Absolutely.
The world.
By far. By far.
It's available to most people, not all, but most people.
Right.
But no one reads it.
You know, it just sits on the shelf and collects dust.
Yeah.
And people will even say, well, I have this Bible or I have that Bible. Or they might have a number of Bibles. But, you know, it's our goal as a ministry. We want to make sure that people have access to the Bible, whether it's by internet or app on your phone or having a hard copy.
Right.
And we want to make sure that they have the ability to be able to come together like this and read it and try to comprehend what it says.
So the Protestant information, God raised up men to preach the truth of his word.
Amen.
And he arranged so that the Bible could be printed, mass printed, so the people could actually read it. So they wouldn't have to depend on the interpretation from the monks and the priest that told them all kinds of false stories.
Right.
And so that's what gave it power. You know, the power of the Spirit of God moving in these men and the actual word, the Bible.
Mm.
And so the sad part today is we all have that, but no one reads it.
It's very sad. Or they let somebody else tell them what it says.
Yeah.
And just not too long ago, I might have mentioned this in a program recently, but not too long ago, I got a text from someone asking me a question, and it was, I don't remember the question, but they said, does the Bible say this? I forget what it was. It was on the tip of my tongue. But he said, does it say this for each day of the year? And it was just a particular phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, I know it says that, but man, 365 times would be a lot. And I looked it up, and it only says it like 14 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it back, and I sent him the verses where it uses the phrase that he said, whatever that was. Yeah. And he says, I was sitting in church the other week, and my pastor said that it was in there one time for every day of the year.
And I heard somebody say that too.
Yeah. And, you know, he was so disappointed. He said, why would he say that? And I said, I don't know. I don't, you know, that's why you have to check. That's why Paul said, check, make sure of these things.
Be a Berean. Right?
Be a Berean. So let's, these things that we're talking about, you know, you mentioned these two, what is that, verse 11?
Where two it says, horns.
Yeah, it says two horns like a lamb.
Yeah.
So these horns, like you said, represent two things.
Yeah.
Republicanism. Which is, again, what was that again? Republicanism?
Is civil liberty.
Okay. And then Protestantism.
Which is religious liberty.
Okay. So, in other words, this they come from this place that's very highly populated to a place where there's not much population.
Where there's
freedom. And, you know, for those of you who are in other countries, you might not like that, but that's talking about this country of the United States of America.
Now, those who organized the United States didn't necessarily give that freedom right away.
That's true.
There were some issues with some of those folks that came over.
Yeah.
But the whole focus was to be able to worship God as how you choose, be able to live in civil liberty, mm-hmm. not being imposed on by a king, by wanting all your money, by demanding unreasonable things. And so that was what these two horns represent.
Yes.
But notice that this lamb will be eventually speaking like a dragon. And if you...
Go ahead.
If you go to verses 13 through 15, it says, and it does great wonders, so that makes fire come down from heaven unto the earth, into the sight of men, and deceives those dwelling on the earth because of the miracles which were given to it to do before the beast, that first beast of Revelation 13, mm-hmm. saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast who had been wounded by a sword and lived. And there was given to it to give a spirit to the image of this beast so that the image of the beast might both speak and might cause as many that as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. There it is.
So, what we see here is we see the fact that this country, the United States, where we are, was established originally to give freedoms to people.
Right.
But in time, it's actually going to become a power that can be a harmful thing.
You know, part of what we were talking about that the United States country was based on is freedom to worship as you please.
Absolutely.
That's going to disappear.
That is disappearing, Ed.
People say, that's not possible. That won't happen in the United States. Well, look at what just happened with COVID.
I know. The churches were shut
closed.
Down.
Preachers were arrested because they were having services.
Yes, they were. And there are preachers that have been arrested because of preaching what the Bible teaches about certain topics.
Yeah.
For example, homosexuality.
Right.
And, you know, here's the thing. When I look at this, just to give people a little bit of information, Jesus is referred to in the Bible as the Lamb of God.
Yes.
And he's referred 28 times in Revelation as the Lamb of God. So this new government that was established here in the United States, the way that it was originally set up, was set up to uphold the principles of Jesus Christ. It was set... That's what it was here. No other power on earth could possibly fit the characteristics that you're talking about here. It has to be the United States. And even the time slot of this lamb-like or two-horned beast, nothing else fits except the United States of America. And if somebody has something that they think fits it better, I'd like to know what that is. Because if you know anything about history, this is what we see. But the nation that was established then, like you said, Ed, is changing quickly.
Yes.
It's changing very fast. If you would have asked me in 2019, if you would have said to me, well, you know what? A lot of churches are going to be shut down and people are going to be told that you can't come together to worship in 2020.
Right.
I would have laughed at you. Mm-hmm. I would have thought, I think that's eventually going to happen because I understood what Bible prophecy was. But to say it was going to happen that fast,
right.
I never would have dreamed that. So it kind of makes me wonder, was this kind of like a preamble? Was this kind of like a test?
Yeah.
A test. Can we pull this off?
Right.
And they showed that they can. And so, you know, and maybe it kind of reminds me, this is just how my mind works. If you remember when Jesus was talking about Jerusalem being destroyed, my understanding is that historians have recorded that they were actually surrounded by the enemy, and then the forces pulled back and allowed some of the people to escape.
Those that believed, those that listened to Jesus' words,
right,
did leave and escape.
They left and escaped, yeah. And then the attack came.
Right.
So this, to me, is a warning to those of us. This is very similar to what we see Jesus talking about. These are important things, friends. Get ready. Get ready, because the storm is about to start. But if you are in Christ Jesus, you have nothing to fear. How do you get ready? By knowing Jesus Christ.
Yes.
By learning who he is, by just following in his footsteps and just doing things like he wants you to do. And it's not always easy, but
no,
we
not.
Have to learn to trust God.
You know, it's interesting. You just talked about following Christ's footsteps. I was reading this morning, 1 Thessalonians 4:1. It says, "For the rest, then, my brothers, we beseech you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you have received from us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For we know that what commands we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, for you to abstain from fornication, and each one of you to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." And it goes on to talk about how to live your life and says, you know, our hope for you is that you walk in order to please God. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, these commands we gave you by the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Verse 7 says, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness."
Yeah.
In holiness.
Yeah.
So this is Christ justifies you and he sanctifies you, but you have to let him.
Yeah, you can't do this by yourself.
No, we can't. It's impossible.
It's only in the power of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that this can occur.
Amen.
So back to Revelation 13. You know, 13:13 says talks about this two-horned beast doing great wonders so that it makes fire come down from the heaven onto the earth in sight of men. You know, I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Okay.
And can you read verses 1
sure.
through 12?
2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus." I'm sorry, it says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you in it by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he has taken you out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
This revealing of this power, the son of perdition, has been going on for, what, maybe 100, 150 years?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And you can see that the source of its power is the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Mm-hmm. Its purpose is to deceive people on the earth. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. The love of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, to follow them. And so we see these things actually happening here in Revelation 13. That this two-horned beast does great wonders and makes fire come down from heaven onto the earth in the sight of men and deceives those dwelling on the earth because of the miracles which were given to it to do before the beast. You know, saying, let's make an image to the beast. Well, the beast, the first beast of Revelation, that papal power, you know, controls what people, how they worship. And we live in the United States.
Yes.
That can't occur here.
That's what we think a lot of times.
But you know what's been happening in the United States? This ecumenical movement.
Right.
Trying to bring everyone together in one body.
Yes. In fact, I've mentioned this in a couple of lectures that I've given, this group called LARCUM.
Yeah.
Which is Lutheran, it's an acronym, LARCUM, Lutheran, Anglican, Roman Catholic, United Methodist. And so you think about Lutheran is the first part of this acronym. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther was one who stood up against the papacy,
yeah.
He was the first Protestant.
Yeah.
He was the first Protestant. And if he knew what was happening, he'd roll over in his grave if he knew that they were trying to bring these people together under one common umbrella, which is under the Catholic movement. So, you know, the United States, really what this is telling us when we read this chapter in Revelation is the United States will make an image to the beast.
Like government, like way of controlling what how people worship.
By legislating religious practice.
Yes.
It's just that, and you, again, Ed, I know people that live in this country are saying, that's not possible.
Well, we know someone who was laughing at us years ago and now seeing the things that have happened, yes, says, he may be right.
Yes, he said that not long ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it actually will pass laws that will require worship. These laws will be passed to force people to either obey the laws or they're going to have to face the death penalty.
Well, you know what, Mark? A lot of those laws are already in the book.
They are, and most people don't realize that.
Right.
What are they called, Ed?
They're called blue laws.
What does that mean?
It's about worshiping on Sunday.
Okay. And so now, why is this important? Because, you know, you say worshiping on Sunday. I would say probably 95% or more of the people that are listening, maybe nearly 100%,
right,
worship on Sunday.
Right.
But why is that? Why does this make a difference?
Because God, in His Ten Commandments, says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Mm. For 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy cattle within thy gates, or a stranger within thy
right.
gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and rested on the seventh day, and sanctified it, made it holy."
It says, therefore He blessed the seventh day, and made it holy, or sanctified it, right? So we know which day the first day of the week is, because Jesus rose on the first day, which was Sunday. So that means that the seventh day must be what we know as
Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah.
So, or we call it Sabbath,
yeah,
because that's what it's called in the Bible.
What's going to happen is there's going to be a command to worship on Sunday, a day that is not approved by God, a day that man has set up, and you're going to have a choice. the choice is going to be either do what we say or eventually you're going to be put to death or attempted to be killed.
Now, there are things that are kind of moving in that direction behind the scenes if people aren't paying attention right now.
Yeah. One is this idea of a green Sabbath, or that the earth needs a day of rest.
Right.
A day of rest for the earth, a day for families to come together, a day to take a part and worship God. And there's some strange, mysterious names they give these things.
Right.
And this is being promoted by the Pope.
Yes, it is.
And so, many church leaders as well.
Well, think about this. This is the thing that I don't think that people think about. They're probably thinking in their minds, well, you'll never unify everyone on this because, you know, maybe religious people would do a Sunday, but people who are non-religious won't.
What's a huge religion on this earth today?
It's
worshiping the earth.
Yeah, it is. The green earth.
Saving some little bugs someplace.
Right.
You know?
Save the whales, save the snails.
You know?
And yes, we should take care of what God has given us.
Amen.
We are all about keeping things clean, you know, recycling as much as we can within reason, and you know, taking care of what God has given us here on this planet. I mean, it's beautiful, and we shouldn't pollute it. But do we put the earth before we put anything else, before we put God?
Mm-hmm.
And do we trust that God is the master recycler? He knows what he's doing. And if we leave things alone, the earth seems to be self-repairing in so many ways. So here's the thing. When we go back in history, we've said this a couple of times over the last few weeks, history repeats itself.
Mm-hmm.
History repeats itself. So when we go back and we look at Constantine, and you've talked about Constantine a couple of times recently,
right.
Ed. When we look at Constantine, he wanted to bring the people together. And in bringing the people together, he knew that the Christians, they're not going to cause a lot of ruckus. But he knew that if he changed the day of worship if he tried to change the day of worship for the pagans to Sabbath, they would go bananas. So what did he do? He shifted it and tried to make a new Sabbath day, turn it into Sunday.
You have to understand that Constantine was trying to strengthen his empire, bring it together to solve some problems with unrest throughout his empire. And this is the way he was going to do it, through religion.
Yes. And so we see the same thing with Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
If he brings the people together, he can thwart, quote unquote, thwart this prophecy of God.
His kingdom ending.
Right. Yeah. And keep Medo-Persia from taking over. So he figures, if I bring the people together, but he wasn't prepared for those three Hebrews and what took place.
Right.
And he cannot thwart a prophecy of God. So we fast forward to the end time. We can't change this prophecy from happening.
No.
It will happen.
It will happen. God will put in place those in authority that will cause these things to happen.
And the next thing is this. When we come to this day where we are now and we see that there are Christians that are starting to recognize that, you know what, the seventh day is the Sabbath.
Yes.
This is the day that we need to come together and rest and worship the one true God.
Remember, worship, a large part of worship is being obedient to God, obeying his commands.
Amen. And more people are recognizing the seventh day as the Sabbath day. So how do we get this Sunday law or this blue law enforced? Well, first of all, the vast majority of Christians keep Sunday, so they're not going to have a problem with that.
Right.
But these people that are the green earth people and people like that are really kind of worship the environment, they're going to be all about shutting everything down for a day.
Right. Yeah.
And so this brings unification, doesn't it? And it causes it actually on a false day. On a day that was dedicated to sun gods rather than a day that was...
Right, and that's the thing that you see in this carefully worded statements by the Pope. He's not necessarily talking about the God who created the heavens and the earth.
That's right.
He's talking about any God that you worship.
Right, and that's the thing. In other words, what he's trying to do is he's trying to unify the people to get them under control.
Yeah.
just like they had during the Dark Ages.
Right.
But here, because we live in such a politically correct world, whatever means he has to do that. So where are you going to stand?
Yeah.
Where are you going to stand? Are you going to stand with God and his son Jesus Christ? What day did Jesus go to the synagogue at?
On the Sabbath.
Yeah, on the Sabbath. What day did all the apostles meet together for worship?
On the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath, even after Jesus died and was resurrected and back in the heavens. Up until the fourth century. So these things are so important. And, you know, we're just about out of time. We have about a minute. Go ahead.
So how are you going to know what to believe? How do you know what to put your faith in unless you open the Word of God and read and study it?
That is so important. Read the words on the page, and you'll have you have thousands of ministers that will tell you that it doesn't matter what day.
Right.
You'll have them tell you, well, we know it's Sunday because that was the resurrection day.
Or we rest in Jesus, so that's our rest.
Yeah, and I've asked people.
It's been very popular lately.
It has, and I've actually said, well, what does that look like?
What does that mean?
And I get this blank stare every time I ask somebody, what does that mean? But if you ask me, what does the Sabbath look like? I can tell you.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we can pick up there next week. Well, you know, right where we've started here, where we're finishing here, we'll pick up there, and then we'll come back to this Revelation 13 and finish this out in the next week or two. And, you know, this is the last day of the year. It's hard to believe. And, you know, I hope that everyone stays safe, and I hope you stay home and enjoy yourself and just open God's Word and read it.
Yeah.
So let's close with a word of prayer.
All right.
Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for your word, the Bible, for this message that you've given us. And Father, we just ask for safety for everyone who is listening here this evening. And we just pray that you will open their minds and hearts just to simply read your word and see what it says and to come to know you and your son, Jesus Christ. Please keep us safe until we come together again. We ask for your blessing as we enter a new year. And Father, we're just grateful for every year of life you give us. Thank you so much for every gift, and particularly the gift of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, friends, we're glad you are with us. We hope to see you again next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. Sunday night. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.